Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The characters in Robin MacArthur's stories live in a slice of Vermont where mobile homes molder and barns sink into the sod, where the abandoned fields of burned-out dairy farms sit alongside swanky second homes. There, hollowed-out hippies and solitary loggers cling to their land, and over the 40 years covered in her new collection, they and their children resign themselves to waiting out the days or dream of leaving.
Are you still lonesome? Are you still handsome? Are you still breathing and greetings from fierce New England?
Half Wild is the debut story collection by Robin MacArthur. She lives in Marlborough, Vermont, where she and her husband make music as Red Heart the Ticker. You're listening to a bit from the duo's new album, Tigers of the New England Forest. Robin has been with us before to talk about her music, but we welcome you back to Word of Mouth alone, solo, this time as a writer.
I'm so delighted to be here. Thanks for having me, Virginia.
Well, these are linked stories, and we see the same Whiskey Mountain. We see the Indian Love Call swimming hole and the Mazes Farm and the smoke-filled Stonewall Tavern. They run through all of them. Did you conceive of them that way as all connected?
I wrote them as not that I knew that they were all set in southern Vermont, where I live, where I've spent most of my life. It was at the very end that I decided to make them more explicitly linked. And I didn't want to have them become the same characters, but I wanted the landscape to link them. So
yes.
The creeks and the mountains and the roads.
That's a reliable character.
It is.
But we do see this place over a 50-year span, and we do meet or hear about generations of people with the same last names, know each other, maybe they dated in school, all connected to people who used to eke out a living logging or selling cordwood or milking cows or sugaring. How do the people make a living now?
It's really a hodgepodge, I would say. Most people who I know, it's kind of a crazy quilt of careers. There's a lot of second home building. You know, my dad has spent his life building homes for people, second homes and first homes. And there's a nuclear power plant. There's a hospital. But a lot of people work as gardeners, house cleaners, nailing up sheetrock and working on farms.
Yeah, so this is the
piecing it together.
The new rural experience,
mm-hmm.
I think.
It is.
Well, some leave or dream of it, or some are brought back by circumstance. And there's the woman named Hannah. She's in a story called The Women Where I'm From. Bolts to Seattle, returns when her mother has breast cancer. I wonder if you could read a little bit.
Sure, I'd love to.
Can you set up this scene for us?
Yeah, so Hannah has returned back. Her mother has breast cancer. Her mother is a hippie, is living in this dilapidated house that was once a commune. And Hannah has met up with her old friend from high school who never left and is trying to describe to her friend, or her friend asks her, what's it like out west where you live? It's good, badass and good. I can't wait to hear all about it, Christy says. Yeah, I say, sometime, though I wonder how I'll sum it up to this friend who has never lived anywhere but here. The vegan strip clubs popping up in my neighborhood, Matthew's unpeopled and pristine landscapes full of romanticism and yearning. When we were 12, Christy's dad, Trevor, killed himself by jumping off an interstate bridge into the shallow waters of Silver Creek. I spent that night on the floor next to her bed. Our lives were once as entwined as fence post and honeysuckle. Now she still lives with her mom, Annie, down the hill from my mother's farm, in a blue double-wide and tens bar, and has never left this town, a stone's throw from Boston or New York or numerous other places she could have fled to for any substantial amount of time. What is it, this tether?
Well, so Hannah's a divided soul, and there are some divided souls here. They're connected to this place in a really deep way, but yet they just had to get out.
Mm-hmm. So that's a theme throughout the book, for sure, and it definitely comes from my own push and pull towards and away from home. You know, I grew up on the piece of land where my dad also grew up. It was a house deep in the woods, off-grid. The only houses that we could walk to were extended family. And I was sure when I was young that I would leave and I would go live in New York and I would never return. And it turns out that I did go live in New York and I couldn't not return on a regular basis. I built a cabin in the woods and I would head back as often as I could. And so I know that tether well, and I definitely felt like part of the inspiration to write this book was an exploration of that pull towards home, that desire to live new lives elsewhere, and also an unwillingness to, or inability to really feel complete without those tethers and those roots.
This reminded me also of a song from your new record. Let's hear a little bit from Peaches and Plums.
Our road's grown up in trees. The piano's all out of key. It's a dream of the city, but the country's so pretty. Banging on pans and cymbals. Yeah, the stars pour out of the thimble. We watch from far below on the hood of the car. Peaches and plums, come on everyone, you live on in the midnight dreams of someone.
That's the song Peaches and Plums from the new album by Red Heart the Ticker, and my guest Robin MacArthur and her husband's band is Red Heart the Ticker. In addition to their new album, she's got a new book out called Half Wild. So that little piece of song, you know, it's an imperfect life here, and mm-hmm. we're dreaming of someplace else. These characters in the book feel confined, even if they're surrounded by beauty or half wildness, I guess. Mm-hmm. How connected are the themes in the music on the new album and the book?
You know, they're not intentionally connected, but I would say that Tyler and I, we live in this cabin that we built in the woods. We have two kids. Our creative bubble is pretty small, and it's pretty much just the two of us. So he will write a song, and I'm the only person who hears that song, and it feeds my stories. And I write stories, and he reads those stories, and it feeds his songs. So I was listening to the album on my way here in the car, and I kept noticing lines that were connected that I'd never even noticed before. So it was definitely not an intentional thing, but it felt right to release them at the same time because they are definitely of the same landscape and contain the same yearning and the same, you know, that's a kind of haunted attachment to place and desire to be elsewhere. And yet here we are. Yeah. We're in these woods.
And the woods, the trees, the birds, the wild animals, the mm-hmm. real and the mythical wild animals are such a part of the character here. Although there was a young woman who mocks that, you know, the Southerners and Japanese tourists who come by the busload every year to take pictures of full-colored splendor, not a splendor she necessarily sees. They don't see those hollowed-out lives in these woods. How did you get this close view?
Mm-hmm. Well, my dad grew up in my town, and he's a house builder. My mother's a farmer and a school bus driver. I feel like I had access through my parents to an entire other generation of Vermont dwellers. They were, even though my dad grew up here, they were definitely part of the homesteading movement. 30,000 hippies and homesteaders moved to Vermont in the late 60s and early 70s. And so that's definitely changed our cultural makeup dramatically and drastically. But these people who have been here for more generations than that are still definitely in these towns and kind of quietly living at the edges and are less seen. And I wanted to give them voices. Mm. And my dad used to take me driving around as I was a kid, like so many of the characters in the book do, and just point out what land used to belong to who and who used to own what houses and why they had to sell them and how much they sold, you know, dirt cheap, selling them at farm auctions to second homeowners. And so I grew up with just a deep kind of awareness of the passage of time in this place and what had happened and shifted culturally.
Many of the characters are women living alone in their houses, some widows of the stoic, alcoholic, sometimes abusive husbands, a few aging hippies who've been in the thrall of a series of unreliable boyfriends. And I wonder, what's the pull for you? Like women living out in the woods? Mm-hmm. As a woman out in the woods.
As a woman who lives out in the woods. You know, my mother is not the mother in any of these stories, but she is a very intrepid woman who is drawn to the woods. She rides a motorcycle. She knows how to wield a shotgun. She farms. She spends 14 hours a day out in her fields. And I grew up surrounded by women like that, and I never saw them depicted in fiction. That kind of tough loneliness, intrepid, but choosing loneliness, choosing the woods, choosing this connection with nature and with a wilder landscape. And I always pined for that kind of woman in fiction. And so I finally decided that I just had to write them myself.
And some of them are, there are some lines here that are fascinating about, you know, a mother's love and being in love with their mothers when they were growing up. But then something shifts. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times it comes at about 16. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be a lot of 16. Was that a transformative age for Robin MacArthur?
When I was 16, I moved out of my parents' house and I moved into a cabin that I built in the woods.
Wow.
So yes, that is a transformative age. And I have a daughter who is almost 8, and I'm just terrified of what will happen when she turns 16. And how she will feel about her mother.
Well, because we do live in this age of social media, we get a picture of your house in Marlboro, a town, by the way, one of the characters called where snotty college kids live, because Marlboro College is there. But I've seen features on this self-made house, this cabin that you have, living very simply with your tow-headed children, picking berries, you know, making scones at the market. It, in some ways, it looks like a very idyllic rural life.
Mm-hmm.
Is it close to these lives at all?
My life these days is pretty idyllic, and I feel like I was writing these stories from a place of empathy and what I saw and have seen and continue to see, more than autobiography. Although, you know, the desire and the yearning, I think that has to be authentically personal for a writer to write about that in any way that feels rings true.
You mentioned your grandmother, and previously you and Tyler have come on to talk about the album that you made of songs that she collected, she gathered, went out into the woods with her tape recorder in the mid-20th century, recording people, Vermont local folk people songs. And I wondered if you're doing that in some way. Are you capturing this passage of time and life past in rural Vermont?
Yeah. You know, I spent some time with my grandmother transcribing interviews from old Vermonters who she knew. And one of those interviews was somebody who lived in our town. And the people at the Vermont Folklife Center who had recorded the interview couldn't understand her accent. But because my grandmother knew her well, she could. And I was the one who knew how to operate the tape recorder because none of them did. So I grew up kind of doing that folkloric work with her and have always had a love for documentary work and capturing of voices that are not heard as often.
Well, congratulations. A beautifully well-done job on this one.
Thank you so much.
Robin MacArthur, she's an author and musician, and she's out with a new story collection called Half Wild and a new album with her duo, Red Heart the Ticker. It's called Tigers of the New England Forest, and we're listening to the song Cold Lunettes from that new album. She is giving a reading and also a performance of some of the songs from the new record this Friday, the 5th, at 118 Elliott Street in Brattleboro. There's more information on the show and on the new book and record at wordofmouthradio.org.